This is Sage King, Surge King, to a lot of you, and we're starting a HUNA workshop. Sometimes I call it the power to prosper. That means prosper in any way you like. Today you're going to learn how to create miracles, create your own reality, how to have health as much as you choose, wealth, prosperity, happiness, anything you want, anything at all. I'm going to start you out with a kind of a basic exercise. Probably some of you are familiar with this, but this is where your power comes from. This is where you can do anything from. You learn this basic one. Some people use it as a form of protection. You can also use it as a way to create. It's a good way to start. Just take a deep breath with your eyes closed. Put your attention on your navel. Now there are hundreds and hundreds of ways to do this. This is a simple one. This is a good one. Your navel, you can imagine, as a connecting point with the universe. A connecting point to unlimited universal energy. So imagine from your navel a light radiating out all around you, filling your aura, surrounded with this beautiful light. Often called white light, but you can make it any color you like. And tell yourself inside to eliminate any negativity that gets into that light, no matter where it comes from you, whether it's coming from you or from your environment. Transform it all into positive energy. And put out into that light thoughts of prosperity, of happiness, of love, peace, of excitement, whatever you like in life. Think of those thoughts as going out into that aura, radiate out into the world from your aura. Now expand that light. Let it reach out for larger and larger and larger. And imagine that you can feel your light blending with the light of everyone else in this room. Let that light fill this room so that you and everyone else get to charge out of everyone else all day long. When you're ready, tell yourself, keep that light radiating. Come back, take a deep breath, and open your eyes. Okay. All right. We're going to talk today, first of all, we're going to talk about seven powers of manifesting. Seven ways in which everybody does manifest. Now, the knowledge I'm presenting you is knowledge that's been known in a lot of places, all around the world. I'm presenting it from a HUNA, Polynesian Kahuna perspective. But it's knowledge which a lot of people have discovered. And the way they discover this knowledge is to look at the world and see how the world operates. And then from looking and observing the world, the way things actually occur, you derive from that the principles that govern what's happened. Very much, in a way, a kind of scientific procedure. You look at the world, you see what the principles are, you apply those principles in areas consciously in order to get the same or similar effect. So that's what they did. They observed the world. And these ways of manifesting are ways that are used in the world. The difference happens when you decide to become what we can call a co-creator and start taking some conscious involvement in creating your reality. That's what you're going to be learning. Your reality is created right now. You are creating your reality right now. The reality that you have in your life, you're creating in this moment. But you're doing it out of habit, doing it out of learned patterns, you're doing it out of the way the world is said it should be or ought to be or taught you to. And it's not 100%, of course, but a lot of that is what's happening. But when you start to take conscious charge, deciding what you're going to do, oh, that's wonderful, that's exciting, that's dynamic. You don't have to just do what you're told. It's not required by life to do this. Is there an adventure, possibility, an opportunity to do it this way? It's these seven powers, we'll call the seven powers of manifesting and have some experiences with them. Then we're going to talk, get down to the real gritty stuff, which is mind power. And we're going to use that word, mind power, each one of those letters, to mean a particular thing that we're going to be working with. You'll have a real good, clear system to use to take with you and modify it. In this knowledge, everything is presented as a way of doing things. There are billions of ways of doing things. In fact, more than that, because, what, something like 5 billion people on the planet, each one of them can think of 100 ways of doing things. There's quite a variety of ways to do things. So you can take the knowledge that's presented today, put it in a particular format that you choose, pick and choose the things that you learn and that you like. The idea is to get what works best for you, not to follow a system, because it's a system. So feel free to modify. The first power of manifesting we see in the world can be called, we'll put it up here, acceptance. Now, the power of acceptance is on the level of plants. If you want to say where we receive that, where we see that. Plants are in a position of basically manifesting their reality by receiving. They receive the sunlight, they receive the nutrients in the soil, they receive the water that they get, and with all that reception, then they create themselves. But they are receptive, and this is a level at which we find a lot of humanity. This level of being and receiving. When we talk about human beings, how can it be used in a good way for manifesting realities? Well, a positive way to use this is in accepting what is. Now, accepting what is as being what is. That's real important, to get that kind of idea behind it. Accepting what is as being what is. That doesn't mean accepting it as the only reality, your only possibility, or your limitations, or as what you've got to have. Not at all. It's saying, this is what is. Okay. Not quite fighting it. If the plant is sitting there, and it's fighting the soil, or it closes up all its leaves, tries to resist the sun, it's going to die. It's not going to be able to receive. It's not open to receiving. If you are in a particular situation in life and you're fighting what exists, of course, a lot of people are fighting what existed a long time ago, but same kind of thing. If you're fighting what existed or what has existed or what is existing, you're going to have an awful rough time in your life. In the way life works is that when you push against something, here, let's do it this way. Everybody, try this experiment. Put up your hands and push your right hand against your left. Beautiful. Now you see what everybody did? Everybody pushed back with the left. All right? If you push with your right hand and your left, it goes like that. Okay? The automatic response, however, was to push back. Okay? Now when you do that, you get nowhere. And that's what happens in a lot of life. It isn't accepting at all what is. It isn't flowing with it. It's trying to push back against it and resist what you don't like. In the Chinese, I studied Chinese philosophy quite a bit once, and in that philosophy they have a concept where they talk about the oak tree. And the oak tree stands, and a great wind comes, the oak tree stands there strong and firm. At some point, it's going to meet a wind that's stronger than it. And down goes the oak tree, crashes, finished. But the bamboo stands up like this, here comes a strong wind, bamboo just lays down. Strong wind goes by, strong wind stops, bamboo comes back up right where it was again. It accepts the wind, lets it go over, but doesn't let that acceptance change it. It doesn't resist it, and so it lets it go right through. When we have a situation and we are resisting it, let's say something's happening, and often what happens is we get angry. Anger has a positive use. It's a natural emotion, and anger has a positive use. Have you ever seen a gorilla get angry, gets up there, beats his chest and howls and screams and stands there? That's all he does. Maybe rushes forward a little bit. All of that anger is designed to say, hey, hold off, you don't come any closer, you're trespassing, coming too far. And as soon as you step back, gorilla goes back to eating. Anger's gone, and just like that. It was used to warn somebody off. When that's done, it's over. That's how it works in the outer world, in the animal world. If you've ever seen two animals fighting, if you have deer or antelope, you have something like this, horses sometimes, and they'll really fight until one of them says, okay, had enough. The moment that happens, the other one walks off, goes away quietly, and the other one leaves him alone. Doesn't chase him and grab him and beat him down into the dust. The anger's there, serves its purpose, it's over with. Human beings, however, tend to keep this resistance going, even after the fact. And it doesn't help you, because you can't get angry without tensing your muscles. Think that's funny? Think that sounds strange or unusual? Everybody relax. Let your muscles relax as best you can. Now, with your muscles still relaxed, you keep your muscles relaxed. Get angry. See? You can't do it. You can't do it. If your muscles are relaxed, there's no way you can get angry. Now, if you find a little anger come up, there's a catch there, there's some tension in there someplace, but with your muscles completely relaxed, anger is impossible. Fear is impossible. Any of the negative emotions are impossible without tension. I've just given you the secret of emotional control. We could finish today and you've got it. Now, this resistance of your muscles, see, your muscles are trying to resist. And your subconscious is, and this is where the tension comes from. And the longer you have, let's say, an event in your life which is, okay, this shouldn't be, you're going to have tension. You're going to have tension, chronic tension. There's no way to resolve that conflict as long as you keep saying it shouldn't be. Because what happens is it is. But it shouldn't be. But it is. But it shouldn't be. But it is. But it shouldn't be. And there's a continual resistance until you say, well, you don't like it, but there it is. Whew. No resistance. You can let it go. And then move on. A lot of people are afraid of accepting because they think it means I've got to take it and say it's good and pretend it's good and keep it for the rest of my life. Well, you don't. Not at all. You can say this is what is, it exists right now, now let's move. And you're free to move without that resistance. Acceptance in the term of letting things be what they are is very powerful and very important, because then you can say it's not important and move it away or change them if you like. But that's almost impossible if you keep fighting it. Okay. Now, when this level of acceptance, let's say acceptance is being used, what's happening in the environment, you accept what's there. You're accepting the good in the situation, whatever it is, accepting all the things that you can, and, you know, hoping it's going to turn out right, or just letting it be the way it is, you know, opening yourself, letting the things flow through you, getting ready to move on, making peace with the present, in a sense. Okay? Whenever that's happening, you can have some problems only if you're just in a position of receiving and not participating. I've known some people, and this is good in a sense, they have found that they can trust the universe and they'll receive whatever they need in the moment. Okay? They're fully accepting. But for human beings, there's no growth in that. That's true. The universe will find ways to support you. And you'll find shelter, and you'll find enough food to survive, or at least in the situation where you can talk about needs. Some people say, well, I just want what I need. This is what I need, nothing more. What you need is, I'll tell you basic needs. An iron lung and a solution of, sugar water that comes through in the veins from one of those bottles. That's your level of basic need. You can stay alive a very long time with that. Anything else beyond that, and something that helps you breathe and something that gives you fluids and nutrients in your veins, keeps you sustained, any beyond that is your choice. Anything else beyond that is because you want it, and you have a right to do that. You don't have to accept the minimum. You don't have to accept the minimum. But in this other area, other level of acceptance that we're talking about, yes, the universe will take care of you. You can't grow with that. You need more to grow and develop and use your skills and extend the range of your mind and have more joy and happiness. But yeah, you can do. You can live as a beach bum, and I'm not saying it's wrong. It just isn't a lot of growth in it. And if you're interested in growth, then you have to get into some of these other levels of manifestation. The second power of manifestation that we find in the world is seeking. This is where you're reaching out for something. We see this in the animal world. We see it in the animals that go seeking out the plants, squirrels that go looking for nuts. We see it in the carnivores that go out taking what they need from other animals. And that's the way the world is. And this is an area in human life in its positive form of assertiveness. We step out and realize that you've got a right to the good in the world and you take action to get it. Now, it doesn't have to be aggressive action. That's when we start to see the negative aspects. The thieves are using this power of manifestation. So are thieves, whether we're talking about individual level or a national level. This is the kind of manifestation where you're going out and taking what you want. But on the positive level, it's going out. When you want a better life, you go out and you seek it out. You look for it. You find it. You reach out for it. You want something and you don't just wait and see what's in the area where you want it, like in the stores or something. You go looking for it. You find it. You search through the papers. You're looking for the house that you want. This is an area where you're reaching out for your good. This is where a large part of humanity, what they're doing, reaching out, taking action in order to fulfill themselves, which is that kind of level. Assertiveness is a very important part of this. The difference between assertiveness and aggressiveness. You don't have to use anger. Assertiveness does not mean confronting. Assertiveness does not mean forcing your way. Assertiveness means deciding who you are and that you have a right to what's good, what you decide is good in your life, and taking action. I saw it looked like something very passive, but I saw somebody, a very powerful kind of example of this kind of assertiveness. There was a program on TV, series it was, a number of years ago, where the roles were reversed in society. While the women had roles of men and the men had the roles of the women, I don't know if anybody remembers that, but it was a great program. There was one program where there was a woman executive. She was a president of a corporation, and there was another woman who was a high-powered salesperson. She was coming in to sell some big project. And she walked glib. She was persuasive. And she was in that executive's office painting these glowing pictures of the project and selling for all she was worth, and I would have bought it. She was just doing a great job. And she winds up and presents the last beautiful argument for the case, and the executive behind the desk, she's sitting there calmly, listening to all of this, and finally she hears the pitch and the executive says, no. That's it. No. one single word, and it came across with such power, impact, because it was, this is my position, there's no question about it. It's no. She didn't have to force it. She didn't have to argue. She didn't have to justify. She didn't have to do anything like that. She just stated her position, and that was it, clear as a bell. That was strong. That was assertive. She was making things happen in the way that she decided to have them happen. And even though it sounds like a negative, it was strong, very powerful. That's a kind of assertiveness. Knowing what you want, deciding to go after it. Very powerful way of manifesting. Now, when I'm talking about all these, this is not a hierarchy, each one is better than another, because you've got to use all of them. Being assertive without being able to receive isn't going to get you anywhere. You've got to be able to receive. That's an important part of it. If you're going to move forward, you have to be assertive. You have to reach out, seek what you want. And then when you come to the next power, this is the power of the vast majority of human beings. This is the power of compensation. This is what we see. This is particularly human. This is where we see, we can sometimes, it's called the level of work. In the sense that you do a particular job and you get compensated for it. And so, you know, you choose your own value in this level. But it's a level where you decide the kind of thing that you want to do, you find some way to get compensated for it. Either you're working individually and you determine what your prices are and what your services are worth, or you're working for a company and they decide what you're worth. But it's a level of compensation. You do so much work and you get so much in return. Now, there's all kinds of variations and varieties of that. At this level, it depends on what you think you're worth. Now, I went to a massage school to learn some additional techniques for my work, and it was very interesting talking to the people in that massage school and seeing the kinds of positions they got afterwards. There were some who went to work for some health spas at $15 an hour. There were some decided to go off on their own, and that was real interesting because they had to decide themselves what they were going to charge for their services. And so they were, some were charged $25, and there were some were charged $35, and there were some were charged $45, and there was one guy, big guy, worked in the Beverly Hills Hotel, and he charged $100. Now, all these people went through the same school. They all learned the same technique. They're all doing the same thing. And it all depends on what they thought they were worth. That's the compensation they got. No more than that. Now, the ones down below, end of the scale, they were thinking almost always. They thought they were thinking in terms of other people. Well, you know, they won't be able to afford more than $25. That's what I better charge. Otherwise, I won't get any clients. And then in their mind was the image of all these people out there with no more than $25 to spend. The other guy says, I'm good, and look out the world. He looked at a different world. He said, look at that. Look at Beverly Hills and Bel Air and Reno Del Rey and all these places down in Southern California, Newport Beach. There's money all over the place. I'm going to charge $100. He got it. No problem. But he could only do that because he felt he was worth it. You will not, at this level of compensation, you will not have more than you think you're worth. You cannot rise above that. You will get exactly what you believe you are worth. And I don't mean up here in your head, because I give some classes on prosperity down in Santa Monica, and I have them go through a class and I say, what do you think you're worth? I'm worth $1 million. I'm worth $100,000. I'm worth this. These are people, you know, who are barely making it. All of that idea of worth is up here in the head. That doesn't count for anything. What counts is, what do you think you're worth down here in the gut? In your subconscious, if you like, in your body. What do you really think you are worth? That's what matters. Because you will not manifest anything in life except what your subconscious believes is true. It really doesn't matter what your conscience believes, because so much of that belief is mere information. What matters is what you call the operating beliefs of yourself. What's really operating down there? And the thing to do, what you can do, is ask yourself, actually, if you really want to find out, some of you experienced something like this, if you really want to find out what your own self thinks you're worth, and let's take this experience, and you don't have to share this one. We'll share some other ones. This one you can keep to yourself. But decide consciously an amount of money that you'd like to have, and take a deep breath and close your eyes. Think of that amount that you'd like to have and say to yourself, I have the power to either make or have this much money. And be aware, see what you have in a little internal dialogue coming back at you, a little twinge, some tension in your stomach, some other effects in your body, or whether you feel positive and great and good when you say that. And then say, I have the right to have this much money. Be aware of any body responses, internal responses. I have the desire to have this much money. And I have the will to have this much money. And come back and open your eyes. And it's good to pay attention to whatever your experience was. It will tell you how ready you are in terms of self-worth for achieving that. You can listen to it. If some part of you says, I have the power, and it says, oh, come on, who are you kidding? If something like that comes up in your mind, I have the right. No, you don't. You don't deserve it. Be aware of that, of your solar plexus clutching or something like that happens. You know, some part of you doesn't believe it. If you say, I have the desire, and some part of you might say, are you sure? Do you really? And I have the will. Oh, will. Oh, good heavens, we don't want to do that. That's you don't want to hurt anybody. Immediately the idea of asserting your will brings up fears of being overpowering or aggressive or whatever. These are just examples. Be aware of whatever happens in your mind. If you get positive all the way through and you still don't have it, something else is out for operating. Some other kind of belief is happening. You may have to search and find that. But the way to find out what belief is operating is to start going ahead and take steps to get it. You don't have to put yourself just in a state of receiving and hoping it's going to fall out of heaven. I'll tell you what happens when you hope it's going to fall out of heaven. I had this experience myself. The universe is wonderful. When you set your mind on something, it'll find ways to give it to you. It really will. You may not like the ways you find, depending on how you set your mind about, but when you create a channel for that to come through you to you, if you don't create a channel, the universe has to create a channel. If your intent and your desire and your worth and everything like that is all set up, and you don't create a channel for the event, a way to get compensated, funny things can happen. I had a VW van, 68 VW, and had it quite a long time, almost new, but I had it for a long time and loved it. And I lent it to my son one night. The situation was this. We were getting ready to take a tour to Hawaii. My wife and I were very busy, and we didn't have time. We knew we needed $3,000, and we didn't have time to set up a channel for that. Okay, we're doing this and we're doing that. Well, we'll let the universe take care of it. We know it will. And the universe did. My son borrowed the van and parked it in front of his girlfriend's house on Pacific Coast Highway. And that night, a drunk hit it, smashed it all up. Insurance company came out and said it was totaled and gave us $1,700. And we said, oh, Fine. Didn't like that to happen, but wasn't enough yet. We trust the universe. The van still rang, so I bought it back from the insurance company for $200. So we still used the van, and I thought, wow, that's quite an experience. Didn't work out too bad. It's a little smashed up, but it not too bad. Time's getting closer and closer to the trip. We had no doubt in our mind that we were going. Not a smidgen of doubt. Somehow, we were going. That's when the universe can really work. So, but we didn't do anything about it. We just had this certain knowledge we were going. 2 months later, my son borrows a van again, parks in front of his girlfriend's house on Pacific Coast Highway. That night, a drunk smashes into it, totals it completely this time. Insurance company pays us $1,700. Honest. We went to Hawaii, but we didn't have a car. And that taught us a little lesson, important one. I'm a kahuna, and a kahuna means a master, an adept, and I'm pretty good. But we are all learning, always, each one of us. Okay? Doesn't mean we're at the end of the road or anything like that. So when you're going to be in this area of compensating, when the universe is going to be providing something for you, you've got to open up a channel for that to happen. So you decide, yes, I'm going to have $25,000. Well, be prepared. You don't want to have an accident. An insurance company pay you off. Start some action. Start doing something, which is putting out some action, being assertive, putting out some action, be ready to receive, but create the receiving channel. And you don't have to be in your mind definite about which way it's going to come to you. Exactly. Or for something, it'll happen through whatever's available. Okay? So if you don't consciously create an available channel, the universe will use whatever channel is available. And like I say, you may not like that. But when you create a conscious channel, several conscious channels, you don't just have to create one. Give the universe an opportunity to use all of those as well. Oh, okay. At that time, I could have decided to some special seminars, okay? I could have, actually, at that time, I could put a 30-second spot on the radio asking people who wanted to go to Hawaii. I could have advertised for it, get more people involved. We were just in a receiving state. We weren't doing any advertising at that time. But I could have. All kinds of things I could have set up. In your own particular instance, it depends on your interests and what you're doing, your projects, your plans. But something, some kind of channel. That way you have conscious, not control, because we don't have control over anything. You have conscious influence, conscious guidance about what's going to happen. Now, might as well toss that in right now. The fact that you don't have conscious control over anything. When we're creating your own reality, you don't have control over anything. You don't have a control over anything except one thing. As a conscious person, you have control over one thing, and that's how you direct your attention. That's it. Now, it's the only real ability you have as a conscious being. How to direct your attention. When I'm going to walk across the room like this, I don't know how I'm doing it. I don't know which muscles to move, which ligaments to move, and what energies to send forth, and how to release the sugars from my liver. I don't know how to do all that. The only reason I know all of that's being done is because somebody told me. And my subconscious, my body mind, takes care of that. What do I have? The intent. The directing of my mind intention to be over there, and I let my body do it. Okay? And anything that happens in life, whether it's, this is powerful knowledge you're going to get today, and you're going to learn how to influence yourself and your body and your world around you, and it is influence. It isn't control. It is by guidance and direction, not control. When you try to control, things fall apart. When you try to get in there, the only way you can try to control is with tension and restriction. And it doesn't work. Doesn't work in your health, doesn't work in out in the world with people, doesn't work with relationships, doesn't work with anything. You may get some temporary results, and then it begins to fall apart, breaks down. Control is not the issue, direction is. You learn how to direct events. And that's fun. That's a lot of fun. Okay, so if you want to move ahead on this level of compensation, first of all, at an inner level, you need to build your sense of self-worth. And share this with some of you, but one of the important ways of doing this is to, what I call saturation praise. Saturation praise is when you say, wow, I'm terrific, I'm great, I'm wonderful, I'm fabulous, I'm a good guy, I'm good, I'm really good. I don't have to justify that, I'm just wonderful, wow. I do this well, I do that well, I like myself and I love myself, and I really do, you're a terrific guy. Oh, wow, talk about heady. You can go into bliss from that. I'd like you to experience that because that's a delight. So why don't you take a deep breath, let your muscles go, and let's have 1 minute for yourself of constant praise. Go right ahead.